There's some fixed points here. This is one important verse. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, this is now leading up to the time of his death. And so this is something that we need to fix ourselves upon in Scripture, these certain dates and days, fixed points, to determine the events which filled up the last days of the last week of the Lord on the earth. And that's what we're kind of going to be piecing together here tonight. Also to fix the day of his crucifixion. And then to ascertain the duration of time he remained in the tomb. You see, the difficulties with these three have arisen from not having noted these fixed points. And from the fact of Gentiles not having been conversant with the law concerning the three great feasts of the Lord. And from not having reckoned the days as commencing some 6 hours before our own and running from sunset to sunset instead of from midnight to midnight. So you can see how confusion comes in with our Gentile minds and not having a Jewish thought on the Bible calendar. And so I want you to understand, you know, there's some very important feasts that are taking place in the Word of God that are leading up to the death of our Lord, and one of them being the Passover, of course. But also, remember, a Jewish day begins at midnight. So you got to get that out of your mind. I mean, not midnight, but 6 p.m. We believe our days are from midnight to midnight, but the Jewish is from sunset to sunset. So the beginning of the next day is at 6 p.m. So right now, we would be in Thursday, okay? So you have to get that straight in your mind, because if you don't, then you're going to try and interpret the Bible from midnight to midnight, and you're going to miss out on the actual crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I hope you first understand that. Now, we're going to kind of walk back through this, but I want you to jump to chapter 19 now. Number one, we are fixing ourselves on what's called a high day, an high day. And this is, of course, after the crucifixion, all right? And this is where people get confused. What is this high day? And if we don't get this right, then we're not going to get the crucifixion right and or the resurrection. Well, most people say, okay, Sunday, the resurrection. But we won't get the crucifixion right. So look what it says in 1931. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day. Please understand that, an high day. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. And so we know what happened there. We're not going to go into all the details there. But I want you to understand what a high day is. This is not the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. This is not Saturday. This is the high day, a special Sabbath after the Passover. And so the Bible talks about the feast. And I want you to understand these feasts. You got the Passover, you got Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Remember, this was a holy convocation, and you could go back into the Old Testament. So the first day of each of these feasts was a Sabbath. And that's what's happening here. The first day, Thursday, was the first day. And so it's a Sabbath day. And there you find it in Leviticus 23, in Exodus 12. So this high day is the holy convocation, the first day of the feast, which overshadowed the ordinary weekly Sabbath. So when the word Sabbath there is a holy day. It's not talking about Saturday. It's talking about the first day of the feast of the Passover. The Jews call this Yom Tov, good day. Good day. This is the greeting on that day throughout Jewry down to the present time. Good day. The first day of that feast. So this great Sabbath, having been mistaken from the earliest times for the weekly Sabbath, has led to all the confusion. And so this is the key to understanding the chronology of events leading up to and including Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And the understanding is this: there are two Sabbaths in that week, the high day and Saturday. The high day and Saturday, with a day of preparation between them. This is what makes all the gospel accounts fall into place. This is what helps us understand the fulfillment of Christ's words, and they become very clear to us now. So a correct harmonization of all the facts will bear this out, and that's what we're going to be doing today, this evening. Now, another key verse, apart from these two that I read, John 12:1 and then John 19:31, is Jesus' prophecy there in Matthew 12:40 about 3 days and three nights. Go back there and read that. Matthew 12. Remember what Jesus said about his resurrection, his burial and resurrection. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Oh, by the way, he said a whale. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So here's a prophecy. Now, there is a Hebrew idiom, 3 days. And then that Hebrew idiom, we could, say that only parts of the 3 days or only parts of the 3 years. That's kind of an idiom. But the real understanding here is this: that idiom does not apply in this case. Why? Because not only does it say 3 days, you can't just have parts of 3 days. Because that's how you get a Friday crucifixion. You're going to have parts of 3 days. Because they're applying the Hebrew idiom there. But you can't apply it in this case because he says three nights. So you can't use a Hebrew idiom when he says 3 days and three nights. That means it's literally, not parts, three full days and three full nights. This is a key verse. So don't let anyone say, oh, well, 3 days could only mean parts of 3 days, and they still refer to it as 3 days, which is true in some cases. But the problem is, he says three nights. Now, let the facts guide us, amen? And let me just go over this a little bit. Number three, the facts that guide us. The high day of John 19:31 was the first day of the feast. And the first day of the feast was on Nisan, the 15th day of Nisan. Now remember, that 15th day would commence on sunset the day before, which we would say the 14th. So it's 6 o'clock, beginning the 15th on the day before. That's the beginning of Nisan 15, 6 p.m. on to 6 p.m. the next day. John 12:1, as I read already, takes us back 6 days before the Passover, or Nisan, the ninth day of Nisan, 15 minus 6 is 9. And then we read, after 2 days is the Passover. And that's in Matthew 26, 2 and Mark 14, 1. That takes us then to the 13th day of Nisan. The first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, go to Matthew 28, 1. In the end of the Sabbath, now that was the Saturday Sabbath, the normal Sabbath of that week. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Brethren, I don't know if you know this, but I stood in the tomb where Jesus lay. And I'm here to testify, he is not here. I was in Jerusalem. I was in the tomb. It's an impacting thing of your life to go in that tomb and to realize, you know, reading this scripture right while you're in there, you know, calling all this to mind. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So that is beginning. It's beginning the first day, so that's 6 p.m. Saturday. You see, they wouldn't be going to the tomb during the Sabbath, okay? They're going to be going to the tomb beginning of the sixth day, or beginning of the Sabbath, the Sunday, the first day of the week. So they're going now because they're able to go. And so by that time, he's gone. So it's a Sunday resurrection. Now, when you fix this, you have to fix 3 days and three nights from there, going backwards. Because Jesus said very clearly that he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So when you count back, and I didn't print out a calendar for you to see it, but if you start counting back Saturday, right, to Friday is one day and one night. Then you have Friday to Thursday is one day and one night. That's only 2 days now and two nights. And then Thursday to Wednesday is one day and one night. That takes you to today. Today our Lord was crucified. So many years ago. Isn't that amazing? On a Wednesday. Not on a Friday. Now, it's a holiday. It's fine. You can do nice things with your family. But don't get sidetracked biblically. Amen. It's a Wednesday crucifixion. And that's where we have to understand the rest of what I'm going to be reading to you. And I hope tonight that you understand that it's important to go through the Word of God and let the truth of God's Word fix us, you know, and point us to the days of celebration, not as the world. Amen. not as the world. So I want you to see, going back to the Passover, number 4, the Lord being crucified on the preparation day. So he didn't eat the Passover lamb, like that last meal was not the Passover meal. It was the preparation for the Passover. And then he instituted the Lord's Supper. So he wasn't eating the Passover with his disciples. He was eating the preparation day. Because the lamb would not have been slain until the evening of 14 Nisan. Okay? So, it is clear then if the killing of the Passover lambs did not commence until 4 hours after our Lord had been hanging on the cross and would not have been concluded at the 9th hour, 3 p.m., when he gave up the ghost, no Passover lamb could have been eaten at the Last Supper on the previous evening. So that's something also in your mind you need to really understand. So let's walk through this. Do you see the notes at the bottom here? So John 12:1, we've already looked at this. This is 6 days before the Passover. This is Thursday, sunset to Friday, 9th day of Nisan. This is 6 days, the 9th day of Nisan. So you can go back. There's a calendar. There's actually, this is history. This is not something we're just stabbing at the dark in or coming up with, you know, to make a good sermon. This is historical fact of the year that our Lord was crucified. The week that he was crucified. So remember, we go back. Let's go to John's Gospel, and I'm going to walk through a few things here. We see this in John 12:1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And then they made him a supper, remember? Then Mary, verse 3, took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with odor of an ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot. Think about Judas. What does he say? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6, this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And so he was saying, you know, oh, I'm, you know, he was so being spiritual about this, but really, you know, his heart, because the Bible tells us the truth about him. Now, on the 5th day, the 10th day, our Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, the Lord passes there. He has the supper there. We know this. This is what's taking place in chapter 12. And then, the 4th day. The 11th day of Nisan, which is going to be Palm Sunday, the Gentile Palm Sunday, verse 12. Jump down to verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And then, so we see the triumphal entry, the two disciples going for a colt, the triumphal entry. And there's where you begin bringing in the parallel passages for the other Gospels. As you see there, and that's the part we're not going to go over tonight. But on the fourth day, there's a lot going on. John doesn't record everything for us. John has things that are kind of shorter, but I want you to understand it kind of gives us an outline to follow tonight without getting bogged down in all the details. But there's so much going on. He weeps over the city. Remember that. And then he enters into the temple. He looks around. And then he returns to Bethany. Okay, so that's the fourth day. And then on the third day, this is our Sunday sunset to Monday. So it's 6 p.m. Sunday. Go down to 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And so we have this teaching here. We're not going to read the whole text, going all the way down to verse 50 of chapter 12. This is the third day. This is the 12th day of Nisan, Sunday sunset to Monday sunset. And then you see the other Gospels there also taking place. The Lord returns to Jerusalem, Matthew 21. The fig tree is cursed. Remember that? Matthew 21. The temple is cleansed, Mark and Luke. And then opposition of the rulers, Mark and Luke. And he goes out of the city, probably to Bethany again, Luke and Mark. Now the second day before the Passover, the 13th day of Nisan, our Monday sunset to Tuesday sunset. John's gospel mentions nothing of that day. But the other gospels, you have there the question of the disciples about the fig tree, remember? Mark 11. In Jerusalem again, at the temple, Mark 21, or Matthew 21, he's teaching them parables. This is all imagine all the teaching that Jesus gave on the last week of his life. And you're going to see in John's gospel how a lot. And so he's giving here this teaching. Remember the great prophecies there in Matthew 21, Matthew 24, Matthew 25. And then it says there in Matthew 26, after 2 days is the Passover. So there you go. That's what another fixed point. I mentioned that earlier. And he has a second anointing in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. These are things that could be confusing if you're just kind of reading, well, wasn't he anointed here? Why is this? No, that's a second anointing in Simon the leper's house, not in Mary, Lazarus, and Martha's. Now we come up to the day before the Passover, the 14th day of Nisan, the preparation day. This is Tuesday to Wednesday, okay? This is where we need to understand that Tuesday sunset to Wednesday is the preparation day. So now you go to John 13. This is where we have verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them even unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. This is where he washes the disciples' feet. And also, he announces the betrayal, starting in verse 21. Again, brethren, I can't read every aspect of every chapter. I'm just trying to give you the highlights here in verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testifying said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. You see, they still didn't get it. Now, obviously, when you jump down to our other gospels here, look at all that. I'm going to go back, but you have the preparation for the Last Supper, the even was come, the announcement of betrayal, then the Lord's Supper. This is when it happens. And here, Matthew 26, Matthew 26 and Mark 14, yes, and Luke 22, the new covenant, remember? That's on the preparation. Then all these other things. Luke 22, strife, remember? Who should be the greatest? Then a second prophecy on Peter's denial. It just goes on. Then they go to Gethsemane, Matthew 26. Now go back to our John's gospel. This is an amazing thing, brethren. So at the end of chapter 13, we're still in chapter 13, we have verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Then chapter 14, look at your list there. Chapter 14, verse 1 to chapter 17, verse 26. This is the last discourse of Jesus to the 11, followed by his prayer. Brethren, that's all happening in one day. One setting. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't really get these facts. Jesus is already prepared. It's the day before the Passover. It's the day of the crucifixion because it's starting. Then we go down after all that teaching, go to John 18:1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. That's the Garden of Gethsemane, John 18:1. That also is picked up. Flip your page to the back there, halfway down, Matthew 26, the Garden of Gethsemane. We remember all Luke 22. He sweat great drops of blood. By the way, that is physically possible because of all the stress and strain and the burden of sin and knowing that he's going to the cross, the capillaries break under your skin and you actually, for the stress upon you, blood starts pouring out of your pores. He did sweat great drops of blood. See this here? You know what Gethsemane means? Oil press. You know where this is from? This is from the Garden of Gethsemane. I got that there. You know where it is in my Bible? Luke 22. That's where Jesus was in the oil press. So much happens. We know the agony in the garden there. Then the arrest of our Lord. That takes us back to John's gospel, if you will. John 18. Go back to John 18. Verses 2 all the way down. We have the rest of the Lord there. Judas knew it. In verse 2 it says, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And we know what happens here. He's arrested. He's taken now. The Bible says here, verse 13, led him away to Annas first. For he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest, the same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And so we have the trials of the Lord go through chapter 18, verses 12, all the way to chapter 19 and verse 13. Let's go over there, please. Chapter 19 of John's Gospel. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And there, that's called Gordon's Calvary. There's literally, you sit there and you see the skull, the place of the skull. That's in the rocks, the rock face of the side of that cliff. And that's where Jesus was crucified. And his tomb, you know, again, you could just see that in the distance, and the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. All of this is right there today. And so we see what's going on here. They led Jesus away to be crucified, and then we see this inscriptions here, Jesus the Son of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And they divided the garments there, verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts. We see that there. and the Lord's mother. Remember in John, going down to verse 25, now therefore stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he saith unto the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. We know everything that happens here on the cross. Being the ninth hour, this is already Wednesday, 3 p.m. The Bible says there, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day was an high day. That's Thursday. The day after the Passover was a high Sabbath, a high day. You see that? We have the subsequent things that took place there in verses 31 to 37, then jump down to 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloths, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never yet man yet laid. There they laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. You see that? From the garden, you look at Golgotha, the place of the skull, Calvary, and there's the tomb, and there's, just like the scriptures say, the Catholics have some other place and everything else in that. I like sticking with the Bible, amen, not tradition. Do you see the rest of the scriptures here kind of put all the other details that we did not read in John's gospel here? Remember, just go all the way down to led the way to be crucified, Matthew 27. The two malefactors, they divided his garments. It was the third hour, they crucified him, 9 a.m. Wednesday, when there was two robbers crucified with him, Matthew 27. The revilings of the rulers, both robbers and malefactor. The sixth hour, or Wednesday, there was darkness over the whole land, Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23. The ninth hour, or Wednesday, 3 p.m., the expiring cry, Matthew 27, all there. Subsequent events, buried in haste before sunset, Wednesday before 6 p.m., before the high day, first day of the feast began. Our Wednesday sunset, Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23. And so, the first day of the feast was Wednesday. It started Wednesday. They put Jesus in the tomb right before 6 p.m., The 15th day of Nisan went from Wednesday to Thursday. And then the first night, first day in the tomb. The second day of the feast, the 16th day of Nisan, our Thursday, sunset to Friday sunset. That was the second night and second day in the tomb. The third day of the feast, the weekly Sabbath, that was Saturday. The 17th day of Nisan, our Friday sunset, the Saturday sunset. The third night and third day in the tomb. The first day of the week, the 18th day of Nisan, our Saturday sunset. That's the third day. That's the day that Jesus rose from the grave. So I hope this helps you understand why it's not really, I just hate to say why we don't celebrate Good Friday. I just want you to understand this is why we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, because we celebrate it according to God's word and with God's understanding and with the truth of scriptures. So how much more fulfillment this week should be in your life? Not just a religious holiday, but the actual facts that Jesus was crucified. It was a Wednesday crucifixion. And he stayed in the tomb 3 days and three nights, and he fulfilled the word of God. And he rose from the dead victorious. Amen. And that's what we're going to be doing Sunday, celebrating that resurrection. Amen. May God bless his word.